It's been 1 year since the war against Iraq began, and all last week there have been re-examinations. Among the names that have reappeared is Naira. It's been said many times, in war, the first casualty is truth. Does it apply to the Gulf War? The fact of Saddam Hussein's aggression is beyond dispute. But what about the campaign to commit American troops to liberate Kuwait? To get Americans, perhaps any people, to support a war in a place millions barely heard of, certain buttons must be pressed. In the run-up to the Gulf War, one image, one presence touched American hearts and minds like no other. It was this 15-year-old Kuwaiti girl, identified only as Naira.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Naira, and I just came out of Kuwait. While I was there, I saw the Iraqi soldiers come into the hospital with guns. They took the babies out of the incubators. Took the incubators and left the children to die on the cold floor. It was horrifying.
Naira was testifying before the Congressional Human Rights Caucus, but in fact, she was testifying before the American people, and her story mesmerized the nation and the world. Dead babies, brutal, pillaging Iraqi monsters. It was powerful stuff, according to Congressman John Porter of Illinois, co-chairman of the caucus.
I got feedback from the president. I happened to be over at the White House the afternoon, later in the evening, after the afternoon of the hearings, and the president said that he had seen it on CNN and that he was shocked at some of the things that he had heard.
And they were thrown out of the incubators.
President Bush repeated the incubator story at least 10 times in the following weeks.
Babies pulled from incubators and scattered like firewood across the floor.
There was plenty of evidence of Iraqi brutality, but the incubator story became almost a rallying cry. It had presidential confirmation and the confirmation of Amnesty International, which published a report after Naira testified, quoting her and claiming 312 babies were killed when Iraqi troops pulled them from their incubators. Then, a rather embarrassed Amnesty retracted its report. In London, spokesman Sean Stiles said, as hard as they tried, they could not confirm it.
We spoke to well over a dozen doctors of different nationalities who had been in Kuwait at the time, and they couldn't stand the story up, and it became quite clear to us that credible medical opinion was that this didn't happen.
And it wasn't just Amnesty International. The story did not hold up under repeated scrutiny by reporters and human rights investigators, including Andrew Whitley, executive director of the human rights group Middle East Watch. You went to investigate.
Yes, we did.
You went to Saudi,
mm-hmm.
And then after liberation of Kuwait, you went to Kuwait.
Correct.
What did you find?
We went straight to the hospitals. We were particularly concerned with going to the maternity hospital at the Al Sabah complex. This is the largest hospital in the country, and it's a hospital that has perhaps a half to two-thirds of all the incubators in the country.
Did Iraqi soldiers remove babies from incubators in order to steal the incubators?
No, they did not. Not at all.
And what about the El Adan hospital that Naira talked about, where she said she saw babies removed from incubators?
The Adan Hospital, my colleague, who is a native Arabic speaker, went along there and interviewed the doctors. And he was able to speak to people who said that they had been on duty at that time and that this incident didn't happen.
But you're not trying to paint the Iraqis as being saintly soldiers. There were atrocities.
There were very many atrocities. And the atrocities were largely committed by the secret police units.
That happened?
Yes, for sure.
The babies and incubators?
Did not.
If it didn't happen, where did the story come from? We can't answer that. We can't tell you about Naira. She was no ordinary witness. She's a member of the Kuwaiti royal family, related to the Emir of Kuwait. And when she testified, her father was sitting close by. He's Sheikh Saud Nasir Al Sabah, Kuwait's ambassador to the United States. Naira lives with her family in Washington, D.C. Her true identity was not revealed until John R. MacArthur, the publisher of Harper's Magazine, got suspicious and started sniffing around while working on a book called Second Front, about propaganda in the Gulf War.
So I set out to try to find out, like any reporter does, and I started asking questions, and I finally heard a rumor that Naira was the daughter of the Kuwaiti ambassador. So I used an old reporter's trick. I called up the embassy and I said, Naira did a terrific job at the Human Rights Caucus, and I think her father must be very proud of her. And doesn't she deserve her place in history? And the ambassador's secretary said to me, you're not supposed to know that. No one's supposed to know she's the ambassador's daughter.
There were those who did know. Congressman Tom Lantos, co-chairman of the Congressional Caucus, knew, but he told no one, not even his co-chairman, Congressman John Porter.
I did not know of it until about 10 days ago when it was brought up to me by somebody in the media.
We spoke to Congressman Lantos through a telephone hookup to California. He says he kept Naira's identity secret to protect her family from Iraqi reprisals.
Do you believe that she saw, witnessed, what she says she witnessed?
I have never a personal knowledge of what a witness tells us. And at the moment, I understand some groups questioned her testimony. If in fact that is the case, if in fact her testimony should be inaccurate, then I believe we are owed an apology. I am owed an apology. The Congressional Human Rights Caucus is owed an apology. I haven't the faintest idea at this stage whether she was telling the truth or not.
Today on Capitol Hill, Kuwait.
We can only speculate on the effect of the mysterious Naira's testimony.
Afraid to use her real name in case.
We can't say for certain it was part of a massive campaign by the public relations firm of Hill and Knowlton to, in their words, get Kuwait's story out. Others might call it the selling of the war. Hill and Knowlton insisted on reading a prepared statement before answering questions.
Hill and Knowlton has been accused of everything from helping start the war against Iraq to orchestrating false testimony before a congressional committee. And I want to say as forcefully as possible, these allegations are absolutely, unequivocally untrue.
Lori Fitz-Pagato, a vice president of Hill and Knowlton, was one of the executives who worked on the massive campaign for Kuwait.
Americans didn't know where Kuwait was. They had misperceptions about the country. They thought the women couldn't drive. They thought there was no voting. They had no idea. Time magazine said it was...
The women can't vote.
Well, the women drive in Kuwait.
Fitz-Pagato coached Naira in preparation for her testimony on Capitol Hill.
I'm sure there'll always be two sides to a story. I believe Naira. I have no reason not to believe her. The veracity of her story was indelibly marked on my mind when I saw her and when I talked to her.
I think the girl came voluntarily and spoke and told them what she actually saw with her own eyes.
That's Naira's father, Kuwait's ambassador to the United States. He didn't respond to our request for an interview with him or his daughter, but he did talk to the Canadian broadcast, Fifth Estate.
Whether she was my daughter, my friend, or she was somebody else, I could much more easily, if I wanted to lie, or if we wanted to lie, or we wanted to exaggerate, I wouldn't use my daughter to do so. I could easily buy other people to do it.
Lying was not the issue, but buying was. Hill and Knowlton was paid $10.5 million by something called the Citizens for a Free Kuwait, which Hill and Knowlton and the Kuwaiti ambassador claim was separate from the government of Kuwait.
Well, they paid that much money to a public relations firm because they are concerned citizens who happened to be in this country when the invasion took place.
Actually, a document filed by the Citizens for a Free Kuwait at the Justice Department reveals there were a number of private contributions. $20 from a citizen in St. Louis, $1.50 from a doctor in Baltimore, $100 from Nashville. And then at the bottom of the list, a rather large donation, $11,852,329 from the state of Kuwait.
How can you say you're not working for the government of Kuwait?
Our client was Citizens for a Free Kuwait. Our checks came from Citizens for a Free Kuwait.
Well, that's just
I
a
have no information about the source of their funding.
That funding had one purpose, to get a lethargic American public to support intervention and a war against Iraq.